Well, desire and interest in your prayers today, and sometimes it feels like that we have a title for our subject, and sometimes we don't, and today is one of those. I don't know that I do, so maybe we'll come up with something before we conclude, but it's been some time now. I've been thinking about those that could have known Christ when he was here on this earth. And several things have developed this week that crossed paths with me, that's kind of made me think more of that subject. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and I'd like to read a verse here. Kind of, hopefully this will kind of set the direction of our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, I don't want to get too deep in this verse, other than I want us to recognize that there are times that we cross paths with people and influences that we don't understand just how valuable or how life-altering it could be, just because we had that interaction. So in the last maybe 2 weeks now, there's been some things that's happened. One was a man came into our place of business, and somehow he got to talking about when he, as a younger man, worked at for Walmart for a short period of time, and how that he had some personal conversation with Sam Walton, and he knew him like one-on-one. And so I don't know if I met him personally or not, but I had worked on some pickups for Sam Walton's brother-in-law when I lived in Veneta. If you notice the older Walmarts, where they would build a Walmart store, and then generally there was some kind of clothing store, a grocery store, and then a Pizza Hut out in the front. I mean, they did that. And if you ever noticed on the sign out there in the front, it said Robson Properties. I don't know if you ever saw that. Little letters. Like over here in Webb City, there's a where Atwood's was for a little while. It used to be Walmart, and then they would have like some clothing store and a grocery store, and now it's a Napa store. And then out in the front was a Pizza Hut, and it'd say Robson Properties. Well, that man's name was Frank Robson, and he was Sam Walton's brother-in-law. And he had a ranch down by Chelsea, Oklahoma. I guess maybe the family still owns it. And they would, I had two or three times that I recognized I was working on Frank Robson's pickups when they would come into the dealership there in Veneta. You just never know when you're going to cross paths with someone that is noteworthy. I've met those people that, as Rodney was talking about in Sunday school, might have been kind of like Nicodemus. The report is Nicodemus was wealthy enough that he possibly could have supported the whole city of Jerusalem for at least a year because of his immense personal wealth. It's hard to imagine. So we cross paths with people sometimes that have a lot of money and a lot of influence and a lot of maybe business savvy and those kind of things. And so this week I I stumbled across a little article about Jesse James. Y'all ever heard that name before? Jesse James, he and his brother Frank, I guess there was a period of time after the Civil War that he kind of considered Joplin his headquarters. All right. It was news to me. And that he was here somewhere around 1870 or so. And one of the people that was on the city council had kind of fought with him in the Civil War. I don't know that he was ever really aligned with any particular side, but anyway. So there was someone on the city council, I believe, in Joplin that had been his confederate or his companion during the Civil War. And so he was in Joplin, and there was a young bank teller that happened to be at the same place that Jesse was. And he didn't know who Jesse James was. He didn't recognize him. And he was talking with him, and somewhere in the conversation, I think there was alcohol involved, and the bank teller disclosed to him, to Jesse, that they'd had a recent deposit of like $10,000 or $15,000 worth of silver and about $20,000 worth of gold that had been deposited with the bank there in Joplin. I didn't say which bank it was. And before the night was over, he come to the realization he'd been talking to Jesse James. And Jesse told him, says, "You don't have to worry." Said, I'm not going to come rob your bank. This is my home." And he didn't. But anyway, that's the story I read. You never know when you meet somebody and you begin to talk, you don't know sometimes who you're talking to. The scripture here said, "Don't be forgetful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained," what? Angels. Something that could have had an internal impact. The last thing you want to do is slam the door on an angel if they come and knock on your door, right? You want to be aware of what's going on, but there are many times we just don't know what all has come about. I got a card with one of my first cousins. He's we haven't had a lot of interaction. We haven't really known each other very well down through the years, but ever since Anita and I have been married, we've exchanged Christmas cards. He worked for a railroad, Burlington Northern, I believe, Santa Fe Railroad. And all the time he worked for the railroad, every Christmas we got a calendar from BNSF Railroad. And that was his Christmas greetings and cheer to us. Many times it came with some pictures of his family and all of that. And he has come to the place, he's afflicted and he's not able to, he's not been working for a number of years. He's quite a bit older than I am. And his wife sent us a little envelope with some pictures in it of family members, a picture that I don't believe I've ever seen of my great-grandparents. And there was a letter in there that my grandpa had written. I've never seen anything that my grandpa has written. And it has caused me to realize there's another side of the story of my grandparents' marriage that dissolved. Never heard that. I never had any conversation with my grandpa on my dad's side. All these things, you just don't know who might come into your path and what might come your way in life. We have memorials built in Washington, D.C. We have a Washington Memorial, a Jefferson Memorial, a Lincoln Memorial. Some of you may have been there, seen those for yourself. If not, you've probably seen pictures. And all across our nation, we have memorial libraries and other things to our presidents. And I wonder sometimes, are the people that knew these presidents when they were maybe little boys growing up? One thing that's pretty valuable to me is there are those that has known me from the time that I was a small child. And, you know, Sister Jan, y'all know Sister Jan. Sister Jan was my babysitter at one point. She's known me literally all my life. And so if you want to know what kind of little boy I was, or go ask Sister Jan before, while she can still tell you, and she can tell you what I was. And I'm sure there were times that it wasn't such a nice perspective. But anyway, I'm just thinking about those that have went on, not that I'm famous or anything like that, but when she knew me as a little child, her imagination probably wouldn't have taken in of me standing behind this desk today. You know, there was I had a reputation of being kind of ornery as a little boy. At least I've heard that since I've grown up. What about those presidents that we have all these big memorials? I wonder what kind of child they were. You know, we heard about, you know, the legend or whatever of George Washington cutting down a cherry tree. I mean, I don't know. What kind of mischief did he do as a little boy? But yet he developed into something that was very noteworthy for our nation and what our nation has become. And many times, maybe not always, but many, many times, the people that have made significant impact on society have grown up pretty ambiguous. Nobody really knows what they were like when they were young. Sometimes after people are gone, then people start digging in to finding out where they come from and who they were as a young person or whatever. I'd like to go to Luke, the second chapter, and we'll notice something here. It's a story of Christ coming to this world. Luke chapter 2, begin in verse 8. And it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it were, told unto them. So, that was a story of Jesus had to be maybe hours or a day or two old. I don't know, maybe a few days old. But he was very, very young, just like little Brielle, is just a Drew and Jamie's little girl, just barely entered this world. And the shepherds were visited by angels, and the angels disclosed to them that there was a special child that had been born. And they made the effort to go and witness this for themselves. They got to see Jesus as a little baby. And I wonder sometimes, we don't know any of their names, do we? I don't know any of their names. How did this story get to Luke? Did Mary remember the details and Terry tell them? Was one of the shepherds young enough? You know, if he'd have been, I don't know, maybe he was, David was a shepherd boy. I mean, maybe he was with his father out keeping the sheep, and maybe he was 10 years old or so. I don't know. If he was 10 years old, maybe he could have witnessed Jesus preaching the gospel. I don't know. Jesus was in Jerusalem, I know, and maybe he would have. Did he keep in contact with Jesus? Can you imagine having the witness from God? This is a special child. This is a Savior that's born for the whole world. Do you think he would have tried to keep track of that? I don't know. And follow that? You think of, well, the shepherds were there just at that moment in time, but what else? Did it impact the shepherds long term? You know, it said that they spread the news abroad. They told other people, but somewhere between then and when Jesus began his ministry, it seems like that Jesus had slipped off into obscurity. People didn't know who he was. And so I want us to think about the impact Jesus coming into this world, whether people are atheistic, antagonistic, or any kind of other istic or ism or whatever, you have to recognize that Christ and Christianity has impacted more people than anything else in this whole world. Today, the thing that seems like everything is against is Christianity. And it's because Christianity and Christ has touched almost every soul in this world. Where can you go in this world and be totally oblivious that Christ has come? But I wonder, what happened to those shepherds? Did they forget? It'd be hard to forget a situation like that, wouldn't it? Did they try to keep track? You know, I had a schoolmate, a classmate, that when we graduated, we had this term we used. He was a pretty brainy type person. I mean, he's studious and made good grades and all that. And Anita and I went back after we were married and went to visit him. He happened to be home at his parents' house, and he'd been going to school for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or something like that. And so his name was Eric. And I said, Eric, I said, so are you finished with school? I mean, what's the plan? What's the scope here? And he said, no, he said, I'm going to go get my PhD. And I said, PhD, that's doctor, you know. I said, what are you going to get a PhD in? He says, genetics. I said, what do you do with that? I mean, where do you go to get a job with PhD in genetics? But anyway, I guess he did. but I haven't stayed in touch with him. I don't know. I haven't seen his name in the news. Maybe he's become famous. I don't know, but I didn't stay in touch with him. I wonder about these shepherds. Did they hear about Jesus going and his parents going to Egypt? and breathing a sigh of relief and being thankful that he escaped Herod and the slaughter that happened at Bethlehem? Did they somehow get word that they had come back to Nazareth? What about that story when Jesus went and talked to the scribes and the Pharisees and was in the temple? You remember? I wonder, did the shepherds stay up with that? Surely they wasn't all dead by then. I don't know. Somehow it seems like they just vanished. And then I think of, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 8. And notice what Apostle Paul says here. First Corinthians chapter 15. And he says, he's talking about Christ and his ministry and that he was crucified, and he's preaching to people. He's declaring the gospel message here. That's what he says in the first verse. He said, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So he talks a little bit about Christ and him being crucified and resurrected and all that. And he says in verse 8, and after he was, he says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." You know how old Paul was? Did you know he was the same age as Jesus? You can do your research some other time. Don't do it right now. Paul was approximately the same age as Jesus. Where was he when Jesus was in the temple? He might have been learning from the scribes and the Pharisees then. He was a, what did he say? He was a Pharisee of a Pharisee, wasn't he? You want to find a blue-blooded Pharisee, Paul was. He knew it, ins and outs, ups and downs. Where was Paul when John was preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand"? Where was he at? Do you think he ever heard John? No, I think it's possible he did. I don't know. Some people think that, some commentators think that maybe Paul was referring to his vision at Damascus. I'm willing to entertain that Paul, when he was Saul, actually heard Jesus preach once. Could have. But he didn't accept it then. In fact, he took a position against Christ, didn't he? All the way up until the time that he saw the light on the road to Damascus. Jesus, the one that's impacted the world more than Lincoln or Washington or Jefferson or Sam Walton or Jesse James or anybody else, Nicodemus, Jesus is the one that's impacted the world more. What about those that knew him that didn't accept him down through his life? I believe that Paul felt a great responsibility to preach the gospel because he had taken a position so entirely against the gospel. But there were many more like him that never accepted Jesus. And I want us to look in Luke, the 24th chapter now. And notice this is a story of the men after Jesus had resurrected and had been resurrected from the grave, and the disciples were in debate as to whether he was alive or not. And they had got the testimony of some of the women, but there was two of them on the road to Emmaus. You remember that story? And as they was walking along, Jesus came and walked along with them. And directly they got to their destination, and they turned in and invited Jesus to stay with them. And they prepared some food there, or somebody prepared it for them. And when they sat down, Jesus, it says, blessed the food, and their eyes were open, and they realized who it was. They didn't realize they was talking to Jesus. If their vision was impaired, or it was just he was somewhat disguised, and I don't know what it was, but they didn't recognize him. And then, we'll read starting in verse 30. He says, and it came to pass, this is Luke chapter 24, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You remember, he went back in the Old Testament and explained the scriptures, and he was talking to them on the way. And I think these two fellows was walking along saying, we've heard that. We remember what Jesus said, but they weren't really absorbing it like it was, should have been. But afterwards, they said, didn't our heart burn within us? Didn't we really recognize that? You know, now that we know that that was Jesus, now that we know it was him, you know, I could tell there was something different about that. And they go to analyzing. You know, it had been so much better if they had realized that before. It had been so much better if Paul would have accepted Jesus way back there. If he hadn't opposed Christianity, wouldn't it have been better? I think it would have been. Maybe he could have been one that Jesus could have said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. But he was too busy being a Pharisee at that time. Even if he heard Jesus preach, even if he knew Jesus was in the city, even if he had heard the tale of the shepherds, I don't know. I know their communication wasn't very, it wasn't near as convenient as it is today. And their travel wasn't as convenient as it is today. They can do something over there in the Middle East, and before it's 30 seconds old, we know about it over here. Because of communication. They didn't have that. But it's hard for me to believe that with the shepherds' understanding and all of that, that news didn't get passed around. Somehow there were people that knew that Jesus, this boy that was growing up, the ones that had been, you might say, discussing and analyzing scripture with the lawyers and all of that, the educated religious people in the temple, it's hard for me to believe that people didn't have a look. That's Jesus. He surfaced again over there at the temple. You know, I don't know. I got to believe there was some level of comprehension, but people didn't really accept. You know, the angels, you know, if an angel come to your house and said, Jesus is going to be in Joplin this evening, don't you think that'd make an impression on you? What do you think we ought to do? We ought to be where Jesus is at. You know, if Jesus was going to be at Memorial Hall this evening, I'd want to go early. I'd want to be there. somehow all of this, it didn't seem to impact. And now we look back and say, oh, could the shepherds have told somebody, and they could have somehow, that I believe the information was there, but somehow they didn't take it serious. They didn't take it serious. And I want us to turn now to another message that Paul was preaching in Acts, the 13th chapter. And he's talking to some Gentiles here. I want to pick up the story in the 25th verse. But basically, Paul was on a missionary trip, is the scene here. And he picks, I want to pick the story up in the 25th verse. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he." This is Paul talking about John the Baptist. "I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." So he said, "I'm preaching to you, those of you that are of Jewish lineage, are of Abraham's seed, and whosoever among you feareth God." It's to the Gentiles too. It says, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." How does somebody not, why were they not willing to accept what the prophet said about Jesus coming? Why weren't they digging into really understanding what Isaiah had said and what others had said about Christ coming? Why weren't they digging into that instead of broadening their phylacteries and binding heavy yokes on people's necks? And all, but instead, they didn't really comprehend that there was evidence all around that this really was Jesus. Evidence number one is the angels spoke to the shepherds. The shepherds said they spread it all around. And even if they didn't have Facebook or cell phones or the news media to spread it, it still spread. There was still knowledge. Somebody decided not to accept it and not to pass the word. But between his birth and the time his ministry began, there was 30 years for that to spread around and for information to get infiltrated. And when Jesus was baptized and he began to preach, if the information that had been spread around had been absorbed and acknowledged and believed by people, so what if it took 30 years for Jesus to enter his ministry? People in 30 years, you know what people do in 30 years? They decide something's not going to happen. You know, I can go back 30 years and say that I remember ministers saying that we needed to be prepared because Christ could come for us at any given time. He hadn't come for me yet, but he's come for a lot of people. You know, in the last year, I've lost two of my best friends. We lost Brother Herschel and we lost Brother Philip. Jesus came for them, and he could come for me at any given time. But 30 years. You think that what the angels told the shepherds had got any less important or less valuable? No. I don't know. I think God was giving it time for it to kind of permeate through the people, through the populace. When Jesus started his ministry, what should have happened is there should have been a tremendous influx of people willing to accept Jesus, and they didn't. They didn't. By and large, they rejected him. It says in verse 27, I'm in Acts, the 13th chapter, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him," or condemning Christ. "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Remember how the angels approached the shepherds? It was with good news and glad tidings. There's born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. And what did Paul say? "We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, unto those that were the prophets, unto the patriarchs, under the old law, all the way back through the Old Testament scriptures, now I'm declaring to you the glad tidings that this promise that has been fulfilled." I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. He said in verse 34, "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption or to the flesh, he said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he has said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generations by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." So how is this important to us today? I'll tell you how it's important to us and to me. Paul described who Jesus was and what he was to mankind. He described the plan of salvation, which was freely given to us. And the big question today is, how are we acting on this? How are we acting upon the knowledge that we have? I don't know what the shepherds did. Did they just go back to keeping sheep after they kind of spread the news a little bit? Or were they trying to keep up with how Jesus was growing when he went to Egypt and they knew that he had kind of disappeared and all of that? Did they send somebody down to Egypt to kind of see if Jesus was doing all right? I don't know. But somehow down through the course of time, even when Jesus was a young boy in the temple and all of those things that should have permeated society, there's enough Bibles in our United States that there's no reason why every home shouldn't have one. And there's no reason why everybody in the United States shouldn't be a Christian. But they're not. And unfortunately, Christianity seems like it's in a decline. Why is it? Because they don't realize who was here. They don't realize their opportunity. You know, if people can say, if I would have lived in the time of Abraham Lincoln, you know, I think I could have recognized his ability to be a great leader when he was a teenager. Well, nobody else did. Nobody else. He had a lot of criticism. He faced a lot of things that were, even when he was in the presidency, people didn't like him very much. I've heard a lot of, you know, the man that that was telling us he knew Sam Walton personally. He didn't say everything. He had some negative things to say about Sam. And you might think, well, mine, he was one of the most, he was a genius when it came to business. And yet, people kind of discredit all of those kind of opportunities. Lord, help me today. What am I acting on? Will I be one of those that come to the end of my life and recall messages and services and opportunities that I could have made a change in my life? Remember the times that God spoke to my heart and I just didn't feel motivated to do anything. Didn't realize the importance of the moment. And I realize maybe you can come to the end of life and recognize you didn't respond like you should have. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to be able to come to the end of my life, say thank you, Lord, for every time you talked to me. Thank you for every time that your Spirit dealt with my soul. I want to move up. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to avail myself of the opportunities and the knowledge that I have and I've been given. I don't want to let it slip away. I don't want to be like Paul. I have an opinion. And my opinion is that Paul knew early on that who Jesus was, but he rejected it. He resisted it when Jesus was alive. He opposed it after the day of Pentecost and labeled it, you might say, the enemy. He was very steeped in his religious practices and he didn't recognize the Lord. I want to be in a place I can recognize him. We've had some glad tidings given to us. We can be delivered from bad attitudes. We can be delivered from the bondage of suspicion and the bondage of whatever it might be. We can be delivered from that. And I want to take advantage of it. There's an opportunity today in our life to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said there that in his message here to the that Paul was preaching, that it's to the stock of Abraham and whosoever among you feareth God. Do you fear God this morning? You believe that God is out there? Do you believe that he has a way to really change your life for the better? I do. I really do. And I believe that he will to everyone that will come to him and humble themselves and repent. The scripture says, whosoever will. And I want to be one of the willing. I want to be one of those that has a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I want to be filled. I don't want to let the opportunity to know the Lord to pass by in my generation. I don't want to come to the end of time, of my time, and look back and say, oh, you know, I had some good chances. I met Jesus one time. He met me. We were at a crossroads and he offered me to take me a different way and I didn't go. I don't want to be that one. I want to be one that says I can look back. And I met Christ. And he offered me an opportunity to change and be a different person. And be a better person. And by his grace, I took that path. I want you to pray for me.